If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Okay. How's that level for you? Give him.
Good. That. Yeah, there I can hear.
Is that better? All
yeah,
right.
I can hear.
All right, Rob. We're ready. Whenever you're ready, buddy, just tell us.
How long, Rob?
How long till we're up, Rob? He's not even going to answer. Like, I thought he'd at least play along like we didn't know we were on the air.
All right,
guys,
the
program here on
three,
Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Three, two, one.
Yes, yes. A finally two machine. We are here today. We're at Coach's, one of my favorite spots, the Darby family, great family run and operated business. Brian Darby will be happy to take care of you the way he has me and my family and my soccer team and my family. In fact, I got didn't get a chance. I was talking here to Matt Beasley. My father-in-law and mother-in-law came in as we are regulars here at the Coaches. And what we are doing here is our 810 Cares for Kansas City food drive. So we'd love for you to bring down your food. They got a great lunch special. You can have some lunch with us. We're going to be hanging around all through the afternoon collecting as much food and as much money as we possibly can. Great lunch special here at Coaches. Everything made from scratch. So come on down and join us for a little lunch here at Coaches, and then maybe a little happy hour at Coaches, and then maybe a little dinner at Coaches. I don't know. I'm staying until my wife says I got to go. That's my plan for today. And we got pickup locations all over. The Kansas City Steak Company, one of the locations you can go to there in KCK, as their great retail center is one of the spots now until 6 o'clock. 5140 Kansas Ave. The Aldi Food Market at 15290 West 119th Street in Olathe. Kevin Keatsman's going to be there from 2 to 6. And, of course, our offices there at 121st and Metcalf. You can drop off at any of those locations, give $20 or more, get a free pizza. And we got autographed Mike Moustakas, Kareem Hunt, and Frank Mason photos that are framed and matted. And here comes my family's donations, by the way, right there. It's official. And I don't know why this crazy lady is just bringing them inside and went right by the truck where they're supposed to go. But that's my wife. That's how she rolls. Yeah, yes, she wants credit for it. There you go. That's it. All right, you got credit, sweetheart. So, yes, and the things they need most, ramen noodles, pasta, peanut butter, soup, canned vegetables, dry dinners like hamburger helper, mac and cheese, scalloped potatoes, dry beans. That's what we need most. Everything's going to go right here in Kansas City to great food pantries. Go right on to the table for people in need for Open Arms KC, Mission Southside, and Bishop Sullivan Center. And a gentleman who works very hard with Bishop Sullivan Center and, I don't know, works kind of hard out on the soccer field a little bit.
Little.
From time to time. Matt Beasler, great friend of the program, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hear him all the time on the Border Patrol. Great segments. And, of course, see him representing us here in Kansas City, representing us as a country on the national team for years. And he joins us here at Coaches. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Doing well. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. And I love the holidays. I know Thanksgiving's a big one for a lot of people. They don't like the gift and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I love it all the way through.
I agree.
Christmas. And to me, this has kind of become, we've done this for so long, this is when the holidays really launch for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not the hardest thing for us to spend a day talking about this and moving canned goods around and loading up trucks and doing those things. But it makes you feel good. And it makes you feel good to give back. And you're not just stopping with a little, you know, donation. One of the things that people can do is actually go and serve food at a pantry with you. I think this is awesome. And this is something that you've done. This is actually giving of your time in addition to just making a donation. Tell me about what you got going on with the Defend Against Hunger.
Yeah, so this is the second year that I've been involved with you guys. And in the, I think the third year I've been involved with Bishop Sullivan Center. And we came up with the idea last year, was the first year we did it. But we thought, hey, how can we add to what you guys are doing here at Sports Radio 810 with the drive? And the idea we came up with was, well, why don't we offer a sort of contest to do for some of these fans that come in and give a cash donation?
Right.
So that's how you get entered into this raffle that we're going to be doing, is if you donate some cash to your guys' drive. We'll raffle off a one winner at the end of all this, and they'll have the opportunity at some point during the holiday season to go down to St. James Kitchen, okay. which is one of the two kitchens that Bishop Sullivan Center runs, and serve food with me. And we did it last year. The Hurleys were the family that won. They brought down their three kids.
That's awesome.
They were two of them in high school, one in middle school.
Okay.
It was a blast. Yeah. It was awesome. You know, I got a lot out of it.
Right.
I think they got a lot out of it. You know, and if you've never really done that, if your family's never done that, I can't speak, you know, enough about, you know, what you would get out of it.
Right.
Because, you know, as a kid, it's, you know, a little intimidating probably to you know, to go down to a food kitchen like that, to serve food to homeless people.
People you don't know, yeah.
Exactly. And but I think just to get them in that environment and you know, it was just, you could just tell how much fun they were enjoying it.
Right.
You know, how relaxed they were. And this is why we do it, for opportunities like that. So we're going to do it again this year. Again, cash donation will get you into the raffle. The winner, we'll figure out a time that works for both of us, and
right.
we'll go have some fun on a Kansas City night.
I have never done that. And
yeah.
I lost a bet
mm-hmm.
to Bob. It was about the Royals, whether or not they'd make the playoffs. I had the Royals making the playoffs. Bob did not. He was right, unfortunately. And Bob wasn't bragging about it. He wasn't rooting against them, but he just didn't see it. And so we made a wager, and he's got a food kitchen that we're going to go to and serve at. And I'm very excited about
yeah.
it. And, listen, he doesn't have to go. I have to go, but he's going with me.
Yeah.
Which was kind of, I think, the spirit of how it was going to end up one
yeah.
way or the other. And tell me, what is it? I mean, because I know people have done it, and I'm embarrassed that I haven't done it.
Yeah.
You know, we all try to do something, and we give in a little in other ways. But I do think that's one of the ways that you can really connect with the community and understand. What I hear from people is, it really is an uplifting experience,
yeah.
and you really do recognize that how much people are in need and what places like Bishop Sullivan Center are actually doing.
Well, it's something that's hard to explain. I mean, you asked what about it, you know, gives yeah. you that feeling. That's a great question. I don't know. It's you said, you know, the holiday season, it makes you feel good. You know,
right.
doing something like this makes you feel good. That's exactly what serving in the food kitchen does. And obviously you're helping the people that are there, you know, getting a hot meal. But I'm telling you, you're the one that really walks away. You know, you get back in your car and you're driving home and you're like, gosh, I feel that felt good.
Right.
I want to do that again. You know, when can I sign up, you know, again? Or, you know, I'm definitely doing this again next year. And that's the feeling that I've gotten every single time that I've experienced it.
Yeah, and how did you get hooked up with Bishop Sullivan Center?
They
do such great work.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
so
and I'm just curious how that connection came
so
about.
So it was through Billy Butler.
Okay.
When he was here, he had a program with Bishop Sullivan Center, him and his wife.
Yes, I remember.
I forget what it was called.
Is it the Hit It A Ton, or is that his barbecue sauce? I think he kind of used that too, the Hit It A Ton.
Yeah, it was something like that with the hits.
Right.
And so they, when he left town, they approached me and said, hey, Billy did such a great job. Is there any way that you would step in and kind of fill what he left there? And so I said, yeah, let's learn more about it. We came up with this idea. We named it Defend Against Hunger to kind of play off of what Billy had started with the hits.
Right.
And
because you're a defender.
I'm a defender.
See how I connected
exactly,
those dots.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was called Hit It A Ton.
Hit It A Ton. There
okay.
you go.
That's what I said. Thanks.
I just make sure I was confirming that that's
okay.
what it was. I actually found words.
Dynamite drop in, okay.
So we actually ran this program this summer was the first time. It took a year or two to kind of, you know, figure out what we wanted to do. And the program is called Defend Against Hunger. And there's 100 people involved this summer. And what it is it's actually a family experience. And it's a little different than what you might think. So these families go in and do this Defend Against Hunger program. And they learn about, it's directed towards kids, but they learn about underprivileged kids and underprivileged people in the Kansas City area and what that's like. And so they're not actually underprivileged, but they just volunteer for the program. And they go through, you know, different scenarios of what it would be like to live on food stamps
yeah.
or here's how much you make, here's your budget. How do you make this work?
Yeah.
And I think that part of it's really cool because you're basically teaching and you're opening up all these kids to what it would be like. And you're giving them this experience of, hey, you're learning about this. And so what happened afterwards, they went through the program and they're going to be willing to help more. because when they go through the program, it's like I said, some of this stuff is intimidating, you know, especially as a kid.
Empathy for those who don't have it as good as we do is something that I think this country has lost a little bit of.
Yeah.
And I think this is a great program. I think it's absolutely fantastic because I think when you understand the trials and tribulations, the effort, the difficulty it takes every day for people in need, I think it'll open your eyes to you know, some of the things that need to be done and going and committing to it and helping out. I think it's a great program.
That's exactly what happened. So once they understood, they all looked around, they raised their hand, well, I want to help now.
Yeah.
Now I know I want to help.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they then went back to their different schools or teams, and they were in charge of organizing their own drive.
That's
so
awesome.
They were put in charge.
Right.
So they did a drive. And then at the end of it, for participating in the program, we did a big celebratory event over at St. Teresa's one afternoon. We invited all the kids and their parents out, and we took them through some clinics. We actually did some on-field stuff, signed a bunch of autographs, took pictures, and that was, you know, their reward, I guess, for going through the program.
What a great program, because also then the leadership aspect
of
taking what you've learned and going back. And
it was cool.
And that is awesome.
It was cool. I got to give credit to Bishop Sullivan. They were the kind of ones who drove it and had the idea to kind of do this almost learning experience.
Yeah, a learning and then a mentorship
cool.
program.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. We're talking to Matt Beasler here. In fact, you can learn more about Bishop Sullivan Center. Go to bishopsullivan.org, and you can see ways that you can help, how you can sponsor, how you can donate. Be a great thing to do. I've said we'd love to see you here at Coaches or any one of our locations. We know a lot of people are on the road traveling. I mentioned some of our great listeners I know that are out on the road in sales that listen to us on the app and things that might not be able to get here today. If you can't get here and be a part of what we're doing, go to bishopsullivan.org, and you can see all kinds of different ways that you can help out. We're talking to Matt Beasler, as I said here, defender for a Sporting Kansas City. Let me do talk a little soccer with you while we have you here. So take me back. I know we talk a lot to Peter Vermees. You're on every week with the Border Patrol, so I don't get a chance to talk to you as much because we don't want to wear you out, right, because I know how Nate does that already. But take me back to the Dom Dwyer trade. I think everybody gets it, the big picture of what it does for the organization and the resources that the organization gets and how, applied properly, which this organization has done a great job of applying their resources, and seven consecutive playoffs is no joke, right? That, especially in a small market, and I do think that's something else I'll ask you about, is the big market, small market thing becoming a bigger deal in soccer? But when that trade comes down, is there a gut punch that you basically moved a guy that I get big picture years down the road, we may look back and say, hey, that's what led Sporting to three championships in 4 years, was that move. But this year it didn't help. There's no, I mean, and unless you say, okay, we had a problem and we got rid of the problem. You know, I heard conversation that, hey, Dom might not have been a starter much longer, and so you maximize his value. Well, he still would have been some firepower off the bench, 20 minutes to go in a 0-0 game, and that'd be nice to bring those fresh legs in and go at it. Well, what? How did the locker room react when that deal came down?
So there's no denying. I mean, Dom was a huge part of the team. He had been a big part of our success over the last, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 years that he had been playing and starting. And so there's no getting away from that. I think everybody recognized that. At the same time, you know, you might be surprised with this answer, but things move forward. That's what happens in our sport. And it's not like this is, you know, the first time this has ever happened. This happens all the time in our sport. It may not be at that level or that, you know, situation with Dom and, you know, being a goal scorer, but, I mean, I could go down every year and give you an example of somebody getting traded away. And
I remember when Kai Kamara left. That was the year before, I think,
he won
the title.
He was midseason.
And it was the year before you won the title, and there was a feeling like, well, there goes the best scorer. And then the next year you come back and you guys are the best team in the MLS.
Yeah, I mean, look, the same thing happens every time. You're a little shocked at first. You know, you read the news. Or, you know, you find out, you know, when you go in the locker room, you know, the coach tells you whatever happens. You know, try to find more information. You know, feel sensitive to the person, and you go up to them and say, hey, wish you the best of luck. You know, sorry that you got traded. Or, yeah, I mean, I don't even know if you say sorry, because a lot of times people might want to get traded.
Sure.
For whatever reason. I mean, everybody has their own, you know, incentives or whatever. And so you shake hands, and then you go out to training. And the coach, usually says, hey, guys, just so everybody's clear, we made a trade. We wish, you know, Dom the best. We thank him for everything that he did. He was a great player for us. But this happens, and now we have to move forward. Now it's all your responsibility. We have a game on Saturday, and, you know, we have to move forward as fast as we can. That's what happens.
Is there a growing disconnect between small market and big market, the economics that is going to force Sporting to constantly make that move? We know that there are deep pockets with the ownership, but it's also a business that has to be run. I mean, you want the business to be profitable, all right?
Yeah.
I want Sporting Kansas City to make money every year, because otherwise eventually it gets sour if you're running a loser, right?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people think, hey, these guys have lots of money. David Glass has lots of money. Clark Hunt has lots of money. The Illig family, the Patterson, a lot of money, so they should just dump it into it. But the business has to be healthy and thriving. I get that part of the equation. But it does seem like we're seeing a gap widen here in MLS. The salary cap is not – it's not a hard cap, and there's exemptions and how far you can exempt. Like, I find things that – like, I don't get why we've got rules on, like, having chartered planes.
Yeah.
We can only take two or three chartered flights.
Yeah.
Yet we – well, you go ahead and go $25-30 million on a guy over here. Well, there's some franchises that aren't going to be able to make that work. But, like, here, if you guys – I'll bet your ownership would be, yeah, let's do the chartered flights. Like, they do everything else first class in the support. That would make it like, okay – we got a guy at $2.5 million or a guy at $400,000, and somebody else is offering the same thing, it's better to come to Kansas City because they do everything first class. Like, I don't – to me, it's an odd dynamic of what's going on right now in the sport.
There's a couple things that you touched on. The first is chartered flights. I mean, this is a separate conversation, but I will say that's something that I'm hoping will get worked out in the next CBA negotiations. That's something that
okay.
When
are
the
next
flights,
ones?
It's after the end of the 2019 season. Okay. Sorry, at the beginning. So one more year.
One more year.
One more year, and then that off season there'll be some negotiations. And so,
when you're holding up Columbus and leaving for Austin, when Nashville, I think, just passed for a $275 million stadium to be built, when Miami's coming online with David Beckham in the ownership, I mean, listen, I fly commercial,
yeah.
Right? Enough. It's big time now to where, you know,
there's such an advantage to doing it.
Yes.
That it's something that needs to happen. To be honest with you, I don't think it's going to be a big issue.
Right.
As far as like going back and forth. And I think we go to the table, the player side and the owners, and it should be a 5-minute conversation.
Okay.
And you shake hands and you say, all right, we're going charter flights from
okay.
now on.
All right.
To get into what you brought up with the small market, big market
right.
stuff. I'll give you two answers. The player answer is no. I don't think there's a difference. That's how I feel. When I step on the field against an LA or a New York, I wholeheartedly believe that we're a better team and that them being in New York or LA does not matter.
Okay.
Now, the front office answer is probably different, but I don't really know the specifics of that because I'm a player. I don't know everything that goes on. And
sure.
What I would guess is they would probably say, look, when people come to Kansas City and look at our facilities and you take them out to Children's Mercy Park for a game and you watch training and you sit them down in a room and you hear Peter talk to them about the way that we want to play and his vision. And look, every single player that I've experienced that has actually come to Kansas City, they've been blown away. They're like, wow, this is the best place I've ever been. Ilya Sanchez was at Barcelona.
Right.
And he came to Kansas City. He goes, I had no idea. I had no expectation. I did not know what Kansas City was going to be like. I knew it was right in the middle of the country.
Right.
And that scared me.
A long way from water.
But I'm so thankful that I came. This is on par with Barcelona. This is what he's told me.
Okay.
And so I think the problem is probably, well, how do you get these guys on the plane to come to Kansas City?
Right.
Because once they get here, that's not an issue. We have enough going on right now with, like I said, the facilities and the stadium and the culture and the winning. We're going to be able to sell it. But how do you get these guys to accept a tour and actually get them on the plane and, hey, come check out Kansas City? I think that's probably the issue, and that's where the difference is with the big market, small market.
When you look at the standings and see Toronto, New York, Chicago, 1, 2, 3 – up there in the east. Now, down at the bottom, Orlando, Montreal. Montreal's not a small town. Philly, in the West, I guess Portland is up there. But, you know, Seattle, Houston. I mean, when I see New York FC just jump up there, I'm like, what the hell is going on there?
Yeah.
Been a 10 minutes.
I haven't ever really looked at the standings like that, but you bring up a good point. I mean, the only thing I'll say to this is, you know what? That's the reason why it makes it better when you beat these guys.
That's true.
When you're here in Kansas City, because
and that's the attitude you have to have
sweeter.
When you go out there. That's
right.
Do you have a couple more minutes? Do you have some time?
Okay, good.
We're gonna take a break. Come back more with Matt Beasler. I want to talk about the academy system because you did not go through it, but it certainly seems to be the future, and a lot of people saying it could be the future for basketball as well. So I want to get your thoughts on that and looking ahead to next season. Matt Beasler is with us. Your opportunity to serve. With Matt Beasler at one of the food kitchens that Bishop Sullivan Center joins. You're entered into a lottery. If you give a cash donation, you could be going down with your family and serving with Matt Beasler. It's an outstanding opportunity to have a great time, get to know Matt, one of the best guys you're going to find in Kansas City. Forget about that he's one of the best soccer players in the world. How about the fact that he's a great guy? You'll have a great time. You can do it. We're here at Coaches on 135th Street. Come on by and say hello. You're in the program.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Two Chiefs have rushed for 100 yards in the game against the Giants in New York. Name either. They've only played six games there, so there's not a whole lot to go from. Larry Johnson did it in 2005 in a loss. Tony Reed did it in 1978 in the process of rushing for 1,000 yards as a rookie. Tony Reed did it. So would probably be help the Chiefs' cause this Sunday if Kareem Hunt becomes the third?
Yes. Yeah, I would say.
I think that our fans think that's more likely than a 300-yard Alex Smith passing game, according to Frank Opinions on Sunday. So.
And speaking to Dan Schwartzman, he seems to think it's going to happen as well. So there's reason. Not a lot of optimism out of Dan, by the way, when he's talking about the Giants. And why would you? They've been absolute garbage. We are here at the Coaches at 135th. And do you have that information? Because I do not have an email from Todd Lebo, by the way, Rob. So if you have the information, we had a gentleman just give $1,000 to our efforts today, and so we want to give some love to this individual.
It's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, that is awesome. You know, that's Curtis Siebold type of money right there.
It is.
We're throwing around a grr in donations. We're here at Coaches. You come down, make a cash donation, get all we need is name and phone number, and get you signed up to win the prize to go down and serve at a food kitchen with Matt Beasler. It's basically an afternoon with Beasler doing good is what it is, and it's a great opportunity. So if you can make a cash donation, come on in, get your name signed up for a chance to win there. And, of course, taking your food donations, we got our big truck out front. You can just drop it off there at the truck and load it up in there. Also taking bids on the great items from ADA fundraising, as we've got an autographed Kareem Hunt, Frank Mason, and Mike Moustakas photograph, and it's professionally framed and matted. It looked great in any office. All that money will go to help the cause here today. And who do we got? You got it, Rob?
I do have it. It is Thomas Talkington. I apologize if I mispronounced the last name, of RBC Wealth Management. He came by and donated $1,000.
All right, there it is.
Excellent.
And if you give a sizable donation, we'll throw some love to you and your company. So,
Thomas.
Yeah, well done. That's awesome. Appreciate you coming strong like that. And, you know, like I said, I've said it many times, no donation is too big. There really is no donation that is too big. So, and, of course, there's no donation that is too small either.
Nope.
So whatever you got, there are people in need that will certainly take it. And we got a little bit of news. We know if a lot was made of the contract that was signed by Jim Leavitt when he became the defensive coordinator at Oregon, that there was an out clause that he could take the K-State head coaching job with no buyout necessary. And a little more details on that coming out here today, Curtis?
Yeah, Brett McMurphy, formerly of ESPN, but as wired in as you can be in college sports, says Jim Leavitt had a verbal agreement last year to become Kansas State's head coach in waiting and become its current coach in 2018. But KSU's Bill Snyder nixed it because he wanted his son Sean as his replacement. Sources said K-State's top officials, including President Richard Myers and the school's highest-profile boosters, were all on board with Leavitt, then a Colorado assistant, joining KSU staff and replacing Snyder after the 2017 season. Leavitt and the school had an agreement guaranteeing Leavitt $3 million if he wasn't named K-State's coach by January 1st of 2018. However, last December, Snyder pushed back on Leavitt, a former KSU assistant, being named his replacement because Snyder wanted his son, Sean, currently KSU's associate head coach and special teams coordinator, to replace him.
So there it is. It's officially a family squabble in Manhattan. What we thought was the case is the case. And Bill Snyder wants his kid to be the coach.
And it was after he, Leavitt, got word that that had been refused, and that's when he took the job at Oregon.
That's when he took the job at Oregon. But does have an out where he can go and
money back.
And be a head coach at K-State. So get ready for some fireworks come December, whatever, when their season is over, because this story is not going to go away. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. We're talking to Matt Beisler here in the program as he joins us live at Coaches. Come on out and join us for a little lunch. Beverages will be here all throughout the afternoon as well, talking about Sporting Kansas City, talking about Bishop Sullivan Center as well, one of our great food pantries that is going to benefit in the Defend Against Hunger program that Matt Beisler has going with Bishop Sullivan Center. And like I said, you get a chance to go serve food at one of the food kitchens, St. James, if you your name is chosen. So any cash donation, get your name and phone number on a piece of paper. We draw your name. You're going with Matt Beisler. It'll be a great time. And a great way to give back this holiday season. Soccer is evolving in this country and growing in leaps and bounds, the most participated sport in the country. And the dynamics are changing. You see the academy out there every day. I know when you go out to the facility at Swope Park, and they're out there working in all the different levels of soccer. You didn't go through that. That wasn't in place when you were coming up. You did the traditional route, high school, on to Notre Dame, college, drafted, coming up here. What's your view of the, let's call it the European model, and how it works, and whether or not that is a better way to do things, or if it's just the reality of how it has to be done if the U.S. is going to continue to elevate its game overall?
Right now I think it's more of the reality. This is the direction that it's moving, and you gotta keep up with the way that it's moving in order for us to be as competitive as we want to be. You know, we, as a country, we don't want to just go to a World Cup and show up.
Right.
We want to win it.
Right.
That's always what we've been like, and that's what we're going to try and do. And so I think that's the main reason why you're finding these academies. For me, it's really hard to wrap my head around just the dynamic of it all, because it was so different when I was going through, when I was, you know, 17, 18. Mm-hmm. The fact that you wouldn't even consider playing high school soccer, I mean, that was just so foreign. It's like, what do you mean you're not playing high school sports? Are you serious? But now when you break it down, it's probably the right thing to do if you have an opportunity to further yourself in the game. And because I see some of these kids out here, and just the team as a whole, when I go out and watch some of these academy practices, the drills that they're doing, the skills that they have, the technique that they have, miles ahead of where I was at.
Okay.
As a 17 and 18 year old. So when I see that, it's clear that, okay, that's why these kids are, you know, training three or four times a week. Maybe why they're not allowed to play on other teams, because this is so demanding. It shows in their ability. They really are there. I mean, I can't even try to explain. When I was in high school, I was playing, I think, twice a week, and on the weekends, I mean, I was worried about what girl I was taking to the movie theater, and honestly, and now these kids, I mean, they're in a professional environment, and so that part of it is great to see. The issue that I believe that you're gonna see is, all right, so this is gonna be great for players 1 through 10, because they're
right.
The ones that really have a chance to go to college, to get a scholarship, to play, you know, professionally, to keep in the system. Well, what about the players, you know, 10 through 25? What do they do? Do they give up their high school experience to be on a high school team?
Do you know? Can you really identify? I mean, you know, you played with Pulisic.
Yeah.
Or Sick?
Pulisic. I just call him. Yeah.
Okay.
I just call him Christian.
Okay. Well, that's you can.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, he's obviously a guy that you identify. LeBron James was a guy that in basketball you can identify. But a lot of guys, do we know who? 2, 3, 4, 5? I mean, do we know? Are there that many guys that you can identify 1 through 10 are there? Or is it really there's 5 through 500, 5 through 50? And somewhere in there, it's whoever works the hardest, whoever gets the best coaching that they're going to push forward, or no?
I think that's the issue, is right. How do you tell at such a young age? You're trying to make these huge life decisions at an age where you're basically guessing.
Right.
Christian actually just came out with a really interesting article on
I
the Players Tribune.
I haven't actually read it.
I don't know if you saw it.
No, I've heard about it.
I would highly recommend that because he hits this subject really hard.
Does he? Okay, good.
He has the best viewpoint of it all because he's pretty much the first one who has experienced all this.
Right.
Like we said, I didn't do this. Yeah. This it just wasn't.
You're an old man.
Yeah, I'm old.
Yeah.
But he firmly believes that in order for the U.S. to be where we want to be at on a world stage, we've got to start doing the academy, even more so than we are.
Right.
And he has some interesting tidbits kind of in his experiences. You know, he says, in his opinion, you know, ages 16 to 18 are the most important in the development of a player because you're like a sponge.
Right.
You know, there's just so many things that are going on in your life, and that's really the time that you're sort of molding. And so, look – I wasn't in the situation, so if that's what Christian says, I'm going to go ahead and stand by him and say, look, this is the direction we probably need to go.
And I think what people say is, well, are they missing their youth? Is their childhood gone because they're in this professional environment? And I had an interesting opportunity when I flew down to Dallas for the Chiefs-Cowboys, and we went down Friday because we're going to TCU in Texas. And on our flight where you're U-17, U-15,
yeah.
I don't know what age – but here they come, one right after another on there. And I was like, oh, okay, this the academy teams, and they're going down to play down in Dallas. Just happened to be on our flight when they were headed down there. And, you know, I get that, like, oh, my God. I remember the first time Sporting signed a kid. I don't even remember who it was. But it's like, oh, he's not going to play high school soccer. Oh, my God, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Like, exploiting these kids? Is this what's going on? And I get it because it was a shock to our system. This is what always happens in Europe, but we didn't know it. And what was amazing in watching those kids, because I kind of watched the team from afar, and I watched them interact on the plane. I watched them in the airport. I watched them when we got off the plane at the airport. And you know what I saw? I saw what I thought was the best of the AAU basketball world with high school athletics. These kids were all the same age. They were joking around. They were really well behaved, by the way. Let me say that to the coaching staff and everything. I was really impressed with. And there was no jerks in the bunch. They really represented the organization very well. They're wearing their colors, and it's obvious that somebody had said, "Listen, you're not going to be a jerk off. You're going to come down here and wear our colors." And they seemed like great young men, and they were having fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was a slumber party trip down there. It was a great life experience to get to go down as a group with guys. The camaraderie, the teamwork, the team building aspect of traveling and going down to Dallas together, a lot of smiles on faces. You know, the guys obviously were having a good time. This was not like, you know, oh, God, here we go to work.
Yeah.
It was kind of the element of what I see the good parts of AAU basketball, and there are good parts of it, you know, getting to travel and do those things. I was really impressed seeing a little slice of the life element of it, that it was not the what I think we as Americans, like, you know, whenever something's new, you initially shun it. I was like, wow, I felt better after having seen those guys go down there and how they interacted and how they were having a good time. I think it was cool.
That answers some of the questions that we just brought up. Is it worth it?
Yeah.
You know, because we talk about those guys that the 10 through 20 guys that don't quite make it.
Right.
You know, you ask them, well, you know, the situation that you just explained, they're probably going, hey, you know what? I didn't make it. It didn't work out. But I had the time of my life.
Yeah.
You know, those teams that I were on, the trips that I took, those were the best moments of my life so far.
Well, you know, and
there you go, right?
I think it was that day that I was driving to work that I heard you on with the Border Patrol, and you were talking about your book, and you were talking about that your biggest regret was not having played your senior year of high school basketball.
Yeah.
That you went all out for soccer, and that you missed that camaraderie with the guys, and you really wished that if you had it to do over again, you would have played basketball. And that was in my head, and when I went down there, I'm like, okay, are these guys missing that? And, yeah, they're missing the other sports. That is one of the things. You do lose that dynamic. There's no way around that. But you know what? I'm watching kids play fall ball, baseball, spring baseball, baseball all summer. They're in the cages going to all these indoor workout facilities, playing baseball all winter. I mean, it's almost like kids are having to pick at such a young age anyway without the academy aspect of things. That is the reality of the dynamics of sports right now, is kids are becoming one-sport athletes. Football, they're constantly lifting and eating and doing all these things. I mean, it's going that way anyway.
Yeah.
I felt so much better because I do think it was that same day. If not, it was right around there that I'm like, oh, wow. I saw a pleasant dynamic, and it made me feel good about what was going on.
Yeah. No, I think that's key then, because if you take the camaraderie out of it, the experience out of it, then I would say it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because you can get that that's what you get in high school, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's what the people that don't really make it, you know, they look back at high school and be like, oh, those were the best times of my life, and being on the team and pre-meal or pre-match dinners and all the things that you do. But if you're still getting that, like you may have witnessed on the trip there in the airport, then I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
I do. Forward with it.
I'm going to read it, but what did Pulisic say about it? Did he say he said that's what we have to do? But did he say it was a positive experience, or did he not go into that part?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember if he reflected on, because he's still 18.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's hard to say like, oh, it was for sure worth it because he's still. but
he didn't know anything.
Yeah, yeah. But what he did say, what was interesting is, so when he was 16 through 18, he put himself in an academy situation, a super competitive situation where all the kids were pretty much same at his level. And so, and that's different from America, because usually if you're the best kid on your team, you're going to be the best kid on your team for a number of years.
Right.
Right? You're going to be the stud, the star, the five-star recruit on pretty much every team you go to. And so you're going to be treated like that. You're not going to get to experience, you know, the competitiveness and, you know, the ups and downs of it. And that's what Christian was saying. I put myself in this environment where I was learning so much about myself, about how to compete, about, you know, a coach making a decision to bench me and how was I going to handle that. And that's what he was talking about, how it prepared him better, you know, to become a professional player.
We're talking to Matt Beisler here in the program. My last question before I give you the final four, and that is your book.
Yep.
I have not read it yet. I have a copy. I'm planning on reading it while I take some time off here around the holidays. How's it going, and where do people get it?
It's going well. It's going well. So this was a project that took a while, just because I'm playing soccer for most of my time, and I didn't want it to interfere with any of that. So it's been going on for about a year and a half, 2 years now, and all the work's done now. This is the time where we really get to enjoy it, and we released it to the public last week. You can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it at the Barnes & Noble stores here in Kansas City. There's a couple other, I think, Rainy Day Books, Made in KC. There's a couple other boutique stores around the area. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I wrote it. One of the challenges of writing this book is I wanted to write a book that was for everyone.
Right.
And I realized that this is actually hard to do.
Yeah.
It would have been much easier to write specifically to the avid soccer fan.
Right.
But I wanted to embrace that challenge. Is how can I write a book where a soccer fan would pick it up and enjoy it, a non-soccer fan, a 70-year-old, a 50-year-old, a 15-year-old. So I'm trying to write to all these different people, and I think the early returns on it are good. You know, that's been one of the more enjoyable parts, to hear somebody, hey, I read your book, I really liked this part, you were really speaking to me, and, you know, it's something completely different when you talk to somebody else. And so that's what we were going for.
We're talking to Matt Beisler here, and the book is called?
The book is called No Other Home.
No Other Home.
No Other Home.
And you can find it wherever you go to your books here in Kansas City. You'll find it. Make a great gift, right?
Perfect gift.
Perfect gift. Got it out for the holidays.
I always say this is what I intended, so... It's a great holiday book, but it's also a great graduation book.
Okay.
It's, you know, when I graduated, I got all these books that were really deep and had a bunch of quotes and Bible verses and stuff. And so I was like, hey, I'm going to write a sports book for all the sports fans and give to graduation so you can read it and actually really enjoy it.
Right, okay, yeah. Good. I like that. That's good to know. All right, Final Four time brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Go to kslottery.com to find out details how you can win in their Play On Loyalty program. Their holiday scratcher tickets are out there, kslottery.com. I'll start you with this one. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? I always like to know what people like.
Yeah, I like the sweet potatoes.
Good, good. That's
yeah,
good.
My wife's grandma.
Is that because you and your wife are health nuts?
No, they're not healthy. That's why I like them. Okay. My wife's grandma she's been making them for, 40 years or however long. And so she puts like 5 sticks of butter.
Awesome.
The brown sugar.
Yeah.
It's nice and crispy on the top of it.
Any marshmallows rocking on there, too?
I don't think so, but that's a great idea.
Okay. I've seen it done that way.
Unhealthy sweet potatoes.
Yes. Okay. Will you ever play overseas?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
So you wouldn't shut the door to it, but
no.
It's not a goal?
I would.
If it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, if it was the right thing to do,
okay.
I would.
Okay.
I have one more year left on my Kansas City contract.
Okay. All right. So we'll revisit that here before long. Toughest opponent you ever played against?
Ever?
Yeah.
MLS or just ever?
Ever. Period.
Argentina. That was last year,
yep.
I believe, in the summer. We played them in the semifinals of the Copa America tournament, and we lost 4-0.
Yeah.
And it was a legit 4-0 game.
And it was real.
It could have been probably 6-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Messi, I was actually watching the game from the bench that day, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
He was on a different level.
He is, he's got some skills.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about athletes, it's great, and I think it speaks to soccer. We're talking about different sizes. I said, what major professional star is under, 6'1 or 6'2? Oh, I got hammered. Lionel Messi, you dumbass.
Yeah.
Here it is. Here you go.
His balance,
kind of like, yes.
His balance is just unbelievable.
He's insane. All right, and finally, and I haven't mentioned it, but I'll mention it here. Has it softened the blow any of not making the World Cup to see how many big countries, big soccer countries, have gone down? I mean, there is plenty of company for the U.S. team when you see Ireland's not there, when you see Italy's not there. I mean, there is a lot of firepower. So much so they're even talking about having a kind of like an NIT tournament.
I did see that.
Yeah, I think it's
that.
Great
yeah.
because soccer is just booming everywhere. Has it softened the blow even just a little bit?
Personally, no, it hasn't. It has not. I hope what will happen is, generally speaking, we will appreciate making the World Cup more.
When we
not
do
to
it
say
again,
that
yeah.
we take it for granted. But
I think we probably did.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you have to qualify. That's why not everybody gets in.
Yeah.
And it's different for every country. And this is just proof this year. I think this year, probably more than any time ever, you have bigger name countries missing out. So it's going to be a shame. We're all going to kind of relive this next summer when the World Cup actually this summer.
Yeah.
When the World Cup actually happens, we're all going to have to kind of, revisit it and, not be there. Yeah, the NIT tournament, that's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool. So,
do I get to ask you one question?
Sure, yeah, later.
Quick one.
What do I weigh?
What's up with the Minnesota Wild
hoodie?
I was always wondering that.
So I'm not a Wild fan.
Okay.
I got this sweatshirt my friend Smitty took me, who I used to work with, used to be a sponsor back in the day, and took me to the NHL All-Star Game in Minneapolis one year.
Okay.
And so I bought this as a souvenir. When I go places, I like to grab a souvenir.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't want the, I heart New York. So, I'll wear a Yankee sweatshirt, and I get everyone, what are you doing wearing a Yankee? I'm like, well, we went to New York as me and Stephen St. John were there on our Chiefs at Jets flyaway, and I wanted a souvenir. I found this cool hoodie that was a Yankees hoodie, and so I bought it.
Yeah.
So I like that because it reminds me of where I was, what I did. And
you got a story with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. I didn't know if you were like a
– I'm a Sharks fan, actually. And I have plenty
okay.
of Sharks stuff because the Blades were the affiliate when the Sharks –
Oh, were they? I didn't know that.
So the Kansas City Blades. So I wanted to follow a hockey team.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of – and it's kind of like right now I'm looking for an EPL team. I'm trying to figure out which EPL team to follow. Got Sporting here. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. My hometown team. But we didn't have a hockey team. So I kind of tried to follow the Blues and the Devils for a year because the Blues were close. And the Devils actually used to be the Kansas City Scouts through a couple of stops.
Did not know that.
Before that, they were the Colorado Rockies. And before that, they were the Kansas City Scouts. And so I did that, and then the Sharks came about, expansion team, and the Blades were going to be their IHL affiliate. I'm like, well, here, I got it. It's my Kansas City connection. I can never be called a bandwagon fan because I've been here since day one. And so the Sharks are my hockey.
Did you get to enjoy some of their recent success?
Did
they win a cup?
They went to the cup they and lost to, 2 years ago. Yeah, okay. That was huge. Yeah. That was huge. No, I have my championships that I've seen while I'm alive, two with the Royals, one with you guys, and many with the Lakers. But, I was just a kid rooting for the good team. That didn't really count. But and Syracuse has won one basketball championship.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's it. So
that's Carmelo, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well done. Well done. Matt, hey, listen, I always love talking to you. You're a great ambassador for Sporting Kansas City. I think they know that. You're a great ambassador for our town. And you're doing some great stuff here with Bishop Sullivan Center. Go to bishopsullivan.org. You can learn all about it. And if you give a cash donation, you can go serve with Matt Beasler at one of the food kitchens that Bishop Sullivan Center works. It's great stuff. Get his book. It is, I have no doubt, great. I'm going to find out here in the next week. Because I will read the book and I'll give you a review.
Enjoy.
I will pull no punches.
Okay.
One of the coolest things ever, sidebar, I know we're late, but Matt came up to me one day and said, hey, I really appreciate how honest you are. Like, I think I'd said something, you know, I'd said you guys screwed something up or did something wrong or something didn't work. Or maybe I was even critical of you.
Yeah.
And you came up to me and you said, hey, I really appreciate how you're honest about it. And that's one of the things I appreciate about you, Peter Vermees, your organization, and your sport. You don't seem to have to hide the way I see other professional sports hide. And so, as a media guy, and I think I speak for the fans, we appreciate your honesty and your willingness to talk openly about real things that are happening and be honest about what's going on. I think that is part of why the growth of the sport is so big. It's a great sport, but I think also people really appreciate that, and they have a chance to connect with Sporting Kansas City and you and the sport because people are so real in that sport. So
thank you for that. Well,
there's a compliment from me to you.
Thank you. We'll have to talk again soon.
Sounds good. Matt Beasler joining us here in the program. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit more about the Jim Levitt story. We're live at Coaches at 135th. I'm on that one. Bring your donations down to Coaches and bring your we can get some lunch here and to bring your cash donations and get entered to win our great contest to serve with Matt Beasler. You're on the program.